This is Vitriol Plays, one of the producers of Once Upon a Wasteland and the voice of Odessa Valdez in the show. I'd like to take a moment before we start the episode to let you know about our Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/onceuponawasteland. It's a great way to support the show and to get some perks, including behind-the-scenes content, access to our private Discord server, and exclusive merchandise. Now, let's find out what Beth and Odessa are up to in this episode. Thank you for listening.
Once upon a time, 27 years after the bombs fell, there were two people, a vault dweller and a California girl. They met and sparks flew. That's when things got interesting. This is their story.
Once Upon a Wasteland, Season 3, Episode 7, Born by the Winds.
Home sweet home. Well, home, home, I guess.
Is everybody all right?
I think so. Head's buzzing a little, like when we went through the first time. But I feel fine.
I feel better than I felt in years.
You're young. The veil must have restored you.
I didn't dare to hope, but I am as I was.
Not gonna lie, you were pretty foxy as an older lady. But it's nice to have the old Beth back. The young Beth. You know what I mean.
What do you remember?
I remember everything. All those years in Gralsberg. My family.
Are you okay?
I don't know. It's gonna take me a bit to adjust. I just got my memories back after 28 years. And now I'm back in the body I had before I lost them. I'm not complaining, mind, but it's a lot.
We're going to get through this together.
This dress doesn't fit quite the same, that much is certain. Would have brought my old clothes with me if I'd known. Maybe they'd even been, restored, like I was.
Is your Pip-Boy working?
No, still dead. Must have been damaged before I traversed the veil.
I should be able to fix it when we get back.
We'll want to listen to the holotapes I recorded.
Are you having residual memory loss?
Not exactly. My mind seems to be trying to reconcile everything. In a way, I recorded those 28 years ago. But now that I'm back, I'm not even 28 years old yet. The thing is, it's not all like that. My time with you, it's as fresh in my mind as saying those goodbyes a few minutes ago.
That's a good sign. We'll talk to Dr. Flagler and Dr. Troiani when we get back.
Yes. I need to be back in action as quickly as possible.
My priority right now is making sure you're safe. I just got you back.
The best way to make sure I'm safe is to stop the Syndicate's plan. We can set up a fake wedding like a Potemkin village to draw them in.
We can discuss this when we get back. We were able to gather a significant amount of intel the 2 days you were gone.
Us being gone may have thrown a spanner in the works. They don't know that it's our wedding they're planning to hit. But without our resources, they'll need to pivot.
It may depend on how long we were gone. We don't know how time dilation was affected by transferring the bracer to Adrian. A day or two may have passed here, or it could have been weeks. I'll talk to Knight Jenkins and Knight Carlson when I get back to Atlas.
Hey, this place still gives me the creeps. Let's get out of here and back to the inn. Then you two can head back. I'll stick around and try to get a handle on what happened while we were gone.
Thanks. We might have to improvise. I left my radio in our room. And if they found it...
we'll figure it out.
What's happened? Is anyone hurt? Hello, Isabel. Welcome back.
Hello. Elena. Hello, Elena.
Are you feeling all right?
Yes.
Where were you?
Oh, you know, exploring. Apologies for disappearing like that.
It's fine. I was worried, that's all. And so were your friends. I'm glad they found you. And I apologize for rushing in. I know that I said I'd wait 5 minutes, but when I heard that noise, I became concerned. I see those concerns were unfounded.
Hey, we appreciate it. If something did go sideways, who knows if we could have waited the whole 5 minutes. Right, Courtney?
Yes. When something like that happens, 5 minutes can seem like weeks. Years, even.
Indeed it can. Your dress is lovely, Isabel. Where did you find it?
Inside the complex, I got some science goo on me and had to change.
Science goo?
Based upon her description of the substance and the lack of physical reaction to it, it's most likely inert.
But messy. I had to change and, well, this wasn't quite what I was expecting to find, but at least it fits, mostly.
Maybe they put on shows or something. I don't know. These Dunwich people are pretty weird from what you were saying.
They are. Or at least they were. It's been several years since anyone has seen any of them.
I mean, it's not like she found an alternate universe in there and decided to go shopping.
Of course. I'm surprised you're able to maintain a sense of humor about this. You were clearly quite concerned.
We were. But we have her back now, and that's what's important.
Indeed.
Even though I believe that the substance Isabel encountered isn't harmful, I'd still like to get her home so I can examine her more thoroughly.
I'll hang back in case Victor and Dimitri have any follow-up questions. You two get out of here.
Wait, please. You may not have traveled to an alternate universe. It appears that you have done some shopping. What's in those bags?
I gathered up more of the dresses.
What? Why?
Because they were pretty.
Are you sure you're all right? You seem different.
I assure you, I'm the same Isabel I've always been.
What else did you find in there? You don't expect me to believe that the only items of note that you found were some pretty dresses, do you?
I also found some bits of tech that looked interesting for Courtney to analyze when we returned home.
I see. Is she the friend that you were trying to find a gift for?
Yes, she is.
I thought there might have been more to your relationship than any of you had alluded to. That, of course, is not my concern. What is my concern is whether any of that technology could be leveraged as part of our current endeavor. I trust that you will inform me if that is the case?
Of course.
Good. How did you gain entry to the complex? There's no direct entry to the facility listed on the map here. This doorway... is it even a doorway? It doesn't appear to lead anywhere.
I didn't enter the complex here.
But Courtney said that she detected your tracking device in this direction.
Must have just been good timing. This may not be an entrance to the facility, but it appears to be an exit.
I see. So the noise I heard was simply you exiting.
Yes. I pressed a button and, well, I don't know exactly what happened, but a passage opened and these two friendly faces were on the other side of it.
It must have been years since anyone activated that exit. That explains the noise.
I'm just glad she came through in time. It appeared to have lost power immediately after she came through and closed back up tight.
Did you try to reopen it from this side? There must be some sort of release. Perhaps tied to that terminal.
We didn't have time. As much as I'd like to do some exploring of my own in the complex, I think that's something best left for after this operation is complete.
I concur. As fascinating as it might be to explore the secrets entombed here, of which I'm sure there are many, we have more immediate concerns.
Let's get back to the inn. I think Courtney would like to, debrief Isabel before we head home.
Hi, Beth.
Cindy, if you're looking for Amanda, I'm afraid she's not back yet.
Oh, I know. I talked to her last night. I just wanted to see how you're doing. Sounds like you had quite an adventure.
I did, yes. Would you like to come in?
Yeah. I brought you some goodies from the bunker.
Thank you. That's very kind. What did she tell you?
Not much. She didn't want to go into too much detail, even though it was a secure channel.
Smart. Her room at the inn may have been bugged. When's she coming back?
Later today. She wanted to have one last meeting with the syndicate before she got back. Sounds like she's making some headway. Wow. These books, they're beautiful. Did you find these in Cincinnati?
Oh, those are...
Isabel Pandolfi. I'm not familiar with her. Are these love letters?
Yes, they are. It's a collection of them.
She wrote them to someone that she'd only dreamed of. That's beautiful. Ugh, and so are these letters. I wish I could write like this.
So do I.
Where's Odessa?
She'll be back soon. She went to Fort Atlas to brief Paladin Romani about what we found. About all that happened while I was away.
You say that like you were gone for 5 years or something. What's wrong, Beth? I'm sorry, I can go if-
No. Stay. Please.
Do you want to talk about it?
I don't know how.
How does this sound? I pop open one of those boxes of fancy lad snack cakes and a Nuka-Cola, and we figure that part out together.
That'd be lovely.
Okay, first things first. Are you okay?
I'm getting there. Just being with Odessa again. Back in our home. That's the best medicine I could have hoped for.
What happened?
You're as much a part of this as any of us at this point, so you deserve to know. But can I trust you not to report all of this back to Valeria?
Is any of it operationally relevant?
No. Well, I don't think so. I don't have a lot of insight into what you lot are up to.
That's good to hear.
Don't get too comfortable. I'll crack that nut yet.
How about if you start creeping into territory that sounds like it might be related to Enclave business, I say something and we can stop.
That works, I think.
Also, you have me worried right now. Is Amanda in danger?
No. It's nothing like that. We wouldn't have let her stay if she were in any danger at all.
Okay. She didn't sound stressed out or anything, but I just wanted to make sure.
She's in her element. Back when we were together, at the beginning, we did operations like that all the time.
I wish we could do more of that ourselves. The Colonel always wants to keep everything in-house, and I get it, I understand, but it's frustrating.
I'm sure it is. To be fair, my brief coming out of the vault was a bit less formally structured. I wasn't just allowed to collaborate with anyone who could help. I was practically required to.
It feels like she's always looking down on our relationship. I don't know what the problem is.
Is it possible that you're reading too much into it?
Maybe. And I guess on some level it's not fair to compare our situation with yours. Paladin Romani is all about working with people, but the Colonel is always trying to figure out ways to work around them.
That is the Enclave's raison d'etre.
It was. But why does it still have to be? Times change, the Brotherhood's changed. Why can't we?
You could always leave.
I've considered it.
You have?
I joined because I believed in what we were doing, and especially in what I felt like we could do.
And now?
I still believe in the second one, but I'm really not sure about the first anymore. I'm not naive. I know the world isn't black and white, and it operates in shades of gray. And it always has.
It certainly has.
Amanda understands that better than anyone I know. She's moved back and forth between the dark and the light her whole life. And that's one of the things that makes her who she is. But sometimes I'll sit in my quarters after a mission and ask myself, are we the baddies? And it's been more and more difficult not to think that we are.
Everyone navigates their shades of gray differently, and how they do that makes them the person they are. But beyond that, it also informs the person they're going to be. I think the difference you're seeing between Amanda and Valeria lies in there somewhere.
Valeria says that the ends always justify the means.
An absolute statement like that from someone who operates so proudly in the gray is troubling.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing someone tells themselves so they can sleep at night. The question, I suppose, is this though. How are you sleeping?
Not as well as I used to.
There you have it. Look, I know you didn't come here for advice. And even if you had, I don't know if I'd be the right person to give it to you.
I could really use something right now.
I've been fortunate throughout my life to have had a strong support system. No matter where I happen to find myself. In the vault, here in Appalachia, or even in a far away land.
I thought that's what the Enclave was going to be.
But now you've got Amanda, and you've got us.
Are you suggesting that I leave the Enclave? I don't even know if they let people do that.
I'm very much not suggesting that. Only you can determine your path. That decision is and must remain yours. You can't make it for me, for Valeria, or even Amanda. You have to make it for you.
That just sounds so selfish. A big part of the reason I joined the Enclave was to serve the greater good.
It's not selfish at all. The most effective way to serve the greater good is to be the best version of yourself that you can be. You're not always going to be that. And you have to allow yourself the grace to forgive yourself and understand that it's part of the journey, of your journey, which isn't going to look like anyone else's.
I think I understand. And I still want to believe in what we're doing. It's just that it's getting harder and harder to reconcile that with how we're doing it.
How deeply have you discussed all of this with Amanda?
We've talked about it. Sometimes she's too understanding and it can be frustrating. I don't want her to tell me what to do, that's not my scene, but she keeps telling me that she wants me to be happy and she'll have my back no matter what.
And she will.
I know, but you and Odessa seem to be able to talk about this kind of thing a lot more frankly than we can.
I can't say for sure, but I wonder if all the pain Amanda and I caused each other while we were together is making her compensate with you. She loves you, fiercely, that much I know. And she may be wary of hurting you because of how badly she hurt me.
Maybe. I don't know, but I'm not a porcelain doll. I'm tough.
That you are, and she knows that.
So what do we do?
Communicate. No two relationships have exactly the same dynamics, but that's the one thing that always makes things go more smoothly. I can trace every single disagreement that Odessa and I have had to not doing that. Even when it's been for what we felt were the right reasons at the time.
Okay, I know how important it is to talk things out. It just can be difficult in the moment.
I know.
Maybe this conversation is the kick in the pants that I needed.
You'll work it out. You two are perfect for each other.
That means a lot coming from you. You and Odessa are totally relationship goals.
Thank you. We work hard at it. That helps. And I know you two do as well.
We do. Ugh, I came over to see how you're doing and I turn it into a therapy session for me.
Nothing wrong with therapy. We all need it sometimes. Wish there wasn't such a stigma around it.
Yeah. So, I'd love to hear about what happened in Cincinnati if you're ready to talk about it.
I am. And there's a lot to tell. Not quite sure where to start.
How about at the beginning?
That's... I can't even think of the right word. Unbelievable doesn't fit. After what happened last year, I'm not sure I can use that word unironically anyway.
I know the feeling.
This portal.
The veil. I feel it's important to maintain distinct nomenclature between it and what we dealt with last year.
You're sure it's not the same phenomenon? Just because the technology is different.
It wasn't only the difference in tech.
Then what was it? I'm sorry. I'm pressing you.
I understand.
I'm sure you do. But given what you've been through, a lighter touch is warranted. That's not something that comes naturally to me.
I'll warn you if you start approaching Daniel Shin territory.
Fortunately, I don't think there's much danger of that happening. At least as long as I have you around to keep me in check.
I'm confident that our risk of an incursion by the Untainted is no greater now than it was before.
Good. What about an incursion through the Veil?
Based on what I saw while we were in Graltzberg, I feel that the risk is low. The only way to traverse the Veil is by using the bracers, and those are firmly in the possession of the Corbin family.
And if there's regime change?
That's just it. There's no regime there.
I don't understand.
The Corbins don't rule by fiat. They don't rule at all. That society has been going strong for 500 years, and I didn't see any cracks. And it wasn't for lack of looking.
You were looking for cracks?
Not actively, but the lack of them started to stand out.
Given what we've been dealing with for the past, well, forever, it seems, I can understand that. A properly functioning society is well outside anything we've experienced. You were a toddler when the Great War broke out. I was an adult, but it's not as though society wasn't already broken by then.
They were us. They fled the same war that we're dealing with the fallout from. And they were the products of that same, already broken society.
The situations were far from analogous.
I know. They got a much fresher start than we did. No radiation, no scorched, no super mutants. The only external threat they faced was the one posed by the Fomorians. But in spite of that fresh start, well, the infighting I read about sounded awfully familiar.
I think I understand where you're going with this. What happened in Graalsburg could happen here.
Precisely. We have a chance. I thought I already believed that, but seeing what they built, we may not have bracers or stabs or sashes, but based on what I saw, I think they would have been fine without those.
And perhaps we will be too.
Perhaps. But it's going to take a lot of work. Even more than we've put in already. And a lot of things have to go right, too.
You know history well enough to know that's always been the case.
I do. There have always been headwinds. And those headwinds often seem insurmountable to the people facing them at the time. It's easy to look back and think that it was always going to work out, but that's difficult when you're in the moment. I'm very interested in digging into the early parts of the Song of the Sixth to get that perspective.
Did you have a chance to look at the schematics for the SCM device? If we can harness that technology.
Briefly. My focus has been squarely on Beth.
Of course. How is she?
She's okay.
Just okay?
She lived in Graalsburg longer than she's lived here. She had a life. A family. 28 years, Layla. We've been together for 3.
Has there been tension since you got back?
No. The opposite, really. We didn't miss a beat. It's like she came back home after a long trip. I think she's enjoying having her youthful vigor back.
That's a good sign. So what's wrong?
This is uncharted territory. I don't know what kind of impact this experience is going to have on her.
And on your relationship.
Yes. The wedding is in 2 weeks. Is it fair to her for me to press on like everything's normal and she was only gone for 2 days?
That's not a question that I can answer. I'm not even comfortable offering advice. Just support.
I know.
Have you talked about this with her yet?
Not directly. We've been distracted.
As you noted.
And I don't know how to even broach the subject.
I don't either. But you do need to broach it somehow. And sooner rather than later.
I thought you weren't comfortable offering advice.
It's more of a reminder. You, of all people, know how important communication is in a relationship.
I do. The last thing I want to do is repeat the same mistake Derek made and let this just sit there until it's too late.
You're not going to do that. I know you too well.
What we need is one thing we don't have. Time.
You may have a bit more of that than you think. The intel that Beth recorded before her excursion provided significant insight into the Syndicate's game plan. There were aspects that she wasn't able to get to, but the questions that they asked you and Amanda were pointed, specific. And now that we know they're planning to attack your wedding...
We can start there and work backwards to determine the most effective way to stop them.
Precisely. I met with Knights Carlson and Meriwether just before you got back. We are working through a few different scenarios.
Do any of them involve not ruining my wedding?
Yes, in fact. We feel that preventing the attack before it happens is our best course of action.
Of course. We didn't get full insight into the scale of the attack they're planning, but Dimitri is a bit casual about how he phrases things, and both Amanda and I picked up on some hints. Potential hints, at least. Amanda was hoping to tease a little bit more out of them before she came back.
When is she coming back?
Tonight, most likely. Or tomorrow, depending on how things go. I'm just glad that our concerns about her being recognized were unfounded.
Amanda's been out of the game for a while now.
Don't let her hear you say that.
I'll be careful.
But you're right. That Amanda is more of a legend at this point. The kind of story raiders tell their kids to keep them in line. However, being careful was the right call. There are still people out there who know her, who hold grudges.
There are? I assumed.
I didn't say there were many.
Well, it's a good thing none of them relocated to Cincinnati. What was it like there?
It was surprisingly alive. I suppose that's because they were in a bit of a bubble. No Scorched, no real raider presence, no super mutants.
Why is that?
I don't know. As soon as I heard the name Westech, I started wondering what kinds of projects that specific location could have been working on.
And considering that they were specifically part of the Trinity, whatever it was couldn't have been good.
No. We didn't get the opportunity to explore the Westech or Vault-Tec buildings. I'd like to do that once this is all resolved. It could just be that the stories kept everyone away.
Stories?
Mara, one of the owners of the inn where we stayed, had a significant amount of local knowledge. She and her brother grew up there. She told us that everyone kept their distance from the Trinity because of them.
What kind of stories are we talking about here?
At first, I thought it was simply a matter of all the secrecy surrounding whatever was going on there. Well, that and the fact that the Dunwich family itself apparently seemed like they walked right out of a supernatural gothic horror novel.
People always want to fill in the blanks.
And there were a lot of them in that complex.
So, how did people do that? How did they fill in those blanks?
There were disappearances. But knowing what we know about Grotzburg, those might have just been personnel who fled through the veil.
That tracks. But there must have been more to it than that.
There was. There were also reports of monsters.
The usual suspects?
That was my surmise, but I don't have any way to confirm. But whatever those monsters may or may not have been, there was no sign of them.
None at all? Now, that is odd.
I know. When we were marching across the country 4 years ago, there were creatures everywhere. Even in places that were mostly untouched by the bombs themselves. But there? No Deathclaws. No super mutants. Not even any ghouls, feral or otherwise.
Do you feel that might be relevant to the Syndicate's operation?
I think it's unlikely to be directly relevant to their move on Appalachia.
But you still feel it's worth investigating?
Yes, but not right now. There's something not quite right about this whole situation, but we have more important things to concentrate on, like figuring out who's really in charge.
What? Victor Scarlatti isn't?
It's only a hunch. Everything that we've learned so far indicates that Victor has been in charge of the Syndicate ever since his father Anthony died. Craig confirmed that, and he's our best source of intel on what's left of the old criminal underworld.
But...
when Beth and I were transcribing the holotapes she recorded, she remembered something. She mentioned that Victor was puffing his chest out like a boss, but it felt like a front. He demurred on making some decisions that he absolutely should have had the power to make, and it didn't sit right with her.
He wasn't just deferring judgment? Being cautious?
She didn't think so.
What's your take?
It's not something I would have picked up on myself, but as soon as I heard her say that, it made sense.
Let's talk this over with Amanda when she returns. Would Beth be up to joining that discussion as well?
I think she will, but I'm not going to say anything unless I'm absolutely sure. Hey, how are you feeling?
Better, now that you're here.
I brought us food. Bones radioed me while I was on my way back. He made us dinner. I thought you'd like to eat here rather than going out.
That was the right thought. I missed you.
I'm sorry it took so long.
Don't be. I understand. And I think their return to normalcy is exactly what we need. Speaking of, Cindy stopped by. It was nice to see another friendly face.
How's she doing?
Well, I don't think she intended to come here to vent.
Oof.
It's all right. She just needed someone to talk to. And I'm glad she was comfortable coming to me.
Is she okay?
She will be. Think I might need to have a chat with Amanda when she gets back.
Nothing serious, I hope. I thought everything was going well there.
It is. Very well, in fact. I think that's where some of her angst is coming from.
What do you mean?
The Enclave doesn't operate like the Brotherhood does. At least, not Romani's version of the Brotherhood.
Oh, I see. When you and I got together, it wasn't an issue. Layla made sure of that.
The Brotherhood and the Enclave both fancy themselves as families, but they have rather different perspectives on what that means.
We're not without our faults, but we care about each other.
I saw how powerful that is while I was in Gralsberg. Say what you will about the artifacts, the bond between the Braces and the land. That society was built on the same principle. 500 years of peace and prosperity. Because people cared about each other.
It's the kind of thing that gives me a lot of hope for our future here. Venting sessions with Cindy aside, how are you adjusting?
Still trying to recalibrate.
How's that going? Any progress? I know you've only been back a day.
It still feels so strange. All that time in Gralsberg, it was real. It happened. But now I've been reset. And I couldn't be happier. All those dreams, trying to remind me of who I was. And more than that, trying to remind me of you. My dreams came true. I treasure that other life, but I don't know how it fits. It's just, I know what I need to do. I need to figure out who I am now, who I really am.
Everything that Elizabeth Kirby really is was part of Isabel Pandolfi. And the reverse is true too. When I read the things you wrote, I could feel you in those words, even if you didn't know you were you when you wrote them.
I didn't even know I was a writer. Not sure if I still am, either.
It's like what we saw with Amanda last year. She was a successful restaurant owner in another universe.
And married to you.
Oh, yes, there was that, but What I mean is that in spite of how differently her life played out, she was still Amanda. And everything I saw while we were in Gerltsburg showed me that you were still Beth, even though you'd been living as Isabel.
I cherish those years.
I'm glad. You should. No matter how your mind reconciles all of this, it was an important part of your life, and it's always going to be an important part of who you are.
I've been thinking about that. We're all different people, in a way, all throughout our lives.
That's a healthy way to look at it. And you're right, we are. You may have taken that a bit more literally than most people do, but still.
You know me. I rarely do anything halfway.
One of the many things I love about you. The thing that I keep coming back to, what I'm holding on to, is that you're still Beth. My Beth. The woman I love. That's never going to change.
Looking back on it, it all makes sense. Even though I didn't know it, the way I feel about you, the love I held so deeply in my heart for you, no matter how hidden it was, that was the one constant throughout all those years in Gerltsburg. Everything I did, everything I was, it all makes sense in that context. All the love letters in that book, I wrote them to you, surrounding myself with children because I want to have a family with you. You were there with me the whole time because you're the best part of me, and you always will be.
I'm going to be with you every step of the way, in person this time.
Just be patient with me, okay?
We have plenty of time to be patient. There's a lifetime ahead of us, remember?
I like the sound of that.
I liked saying it, especially after my conversation with Layla earlier.
What happened?
I was concerned that I was putting too much pressure on you.
The wedding?
Yes. I thought we might need to push it back.
No. Not on my account. I've waited long enough. No. Too long to be your wife. Unless you have other concerns?
No, I want to marry you, Elizabeth Kirby. That hasn't changed, and it's not going to.
Good. Casey would be devastated if all her hard work went for naught after all.
She would. Can't have that.
Deirdre wrote a few books analyzing my work, and she said the common theme was that there was always a happily ever after. And she wondered if that was the case because I felt that I wasn't going to get one myself.
I'm sorry.
Don't be. Deirdre wrote that there was always a longing in my work. A lingering sense that something was missing. But the main character always found it in the end. That's what happened. We found each other again.
Like we always do.
And like we always will.
Did Sylvia include those analyses in the materials she sent?
I'm not too sure. I sort of left that up to her. The only things I know are in there for certain are the Song of the Sixth, up until the point we left, the contents of the archives, and all of my collected works.
It's going to be fascinating to dig into that archive once I build the SCM reader.
Oh, I see how it is.
You know what I mean. And I would like to note, for the record, that I've already started reading one of your stories.
Which one?
We Have No Right.
You know, I wonder if there was a message behind which physical volume Sylvia sent home with us. Wouldn't put it past her. She's clever like that.
I wish I would have gotten to know her better. She was clearly important to you.
She was. I'm going to miss her. I already miss her. It's one of the things I'm struggling with.
Let's talk about it.
I'm so happy to be home. To be with you again. With my friends. But I miss Gerltsburg. I miss Sylvia and Louisa and Adrian. I miss Sylvia's kids. Hell, they were like my own daughters. I miss reading to the children every week. That place and those people were everything to me. I miss them so much. And I feel guilty about that. Like it somehow means I don't appreciate you enough. Even though it's not the case. If someone walked through that door and told me that I could go back there right now, but I had to leave you behind, they wouldn't even finish talking before I told them to sod off. I will always choose you.
I know. We've proven that to each other time and time again, that we'll move heaven and earth to be together. It's okay to miss them, and to miss that place. If you're worried about me, don't be. I don't feel threatened by any of that. I don't want you to lock those feelings away.
Thank you for saying that out loud. I know that's the case, but hearing you say it makes me feel a lot better.
This is going to be a process. I understand that. And I have an idea that might help.
What is it?
There are plenty of children in Appalachia. We could organize weekly story time, just like you had in Mallory Square.
That would be brilliant. I'd be bringing a little piece of Gralsberg home with me.
And who knows? It could even become a tradition.
I like the sound of that. Shall we have dinner? Bones is a brilliant cook, and I'm famished.
You can set the table, and I'll get everything ready. But, there's just one problem.
What is it?
He didn't include dessert.
I think we can figure something out.
All I'm saying is that we may need to consider contingency plans.
You think I haven't already been doing that?
Your plan is to... Yeah. What's the word? Astronomy.
I don't know what that word means, but I assure you that my plan is not to anything.
I still have my doubts.
I understand. And I will do my best to allay your concerns. Your assistant, however, does not seem to share them.
Elena is clever, but she doesn't have the benefit of experience.
Experience is often overrated, especially by those who have it.
You're starting to sound like your father.
I'll take that as a compliment.
You should. Anthony was a good man. An honorable man.
He always said the same about you. That's why I trust you. Mr. Bliss insisted that I keep the circle tight, given the sensitivity of this operation. Now, one does not insist when dealing with him, but I strongly advocated for your involvement.
Thank you for that. Fighting off disorganized bands of raiders every few months was boring me. At least this is interesting.
You'd think they'd have gotten the message by now.
They never do. Every time a new leader emerges, they think that they'll be the ones who can finally topple the old Russian and take his little slice of the wasteland.
And every time they fail.
Their incompetence is both galling and amusing, matched only by their hubris.
This operation will make them think twice about continuing those attacks.
One would hope.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My apologies for being late. I just finished speaking with Isabel.
Oh no, you're right on time. Dimitri and I were just reminiscing.
Well, in that case, I rescind my apology.
That's fair. I trust Isabel will be ready for a demonstration of her technology soon.
She will. Courtney has joined her, so that work should move more quickly now.
And you made our timeline clear?
I reiterated it, yes. All three of them are now fully briefed on what we wish to accomplish, when we wish to strike, and the specific parameters that will be in play at that time.
Good.
Riley is waiting outside. She stayed behind in the event that we had any additional questions. If we do not, she will join Isabel and Courtney.
Show her in. I'd like to discuss whether she may be able to assist with taking care of our complication.
I like that idea. Leveraging one of Isabel's human subjects for them might be an excellent proof of concept.
My thoughts exactly.
Riley, please, come in.
It's lovely to see you again. I trust that Courtney's journey home was uneventful.
It was. Thanks for asking. what can I help you with? The tech is kind of outside my lane, but I can talk strategy if you want.
We'd like to discuss something else.
Okay, what's up?
There is a potential complication. It may not even rise to that level, but since you're here...
Got it. I am all about uncomplicating things.
Can this technology be used to control individuals? Or is it just for coordinating cannon fodder?
Well, it's more complicated to do it that way, which would make it a lot more expensive, but yeah, you can control one person individually if you want.
Good. We need an assassin.
An assassin? Who do you want to take out? Faction leaders? Cut off their heads before you make your move?
No. That would put the entire region on high alert. And in turn, would put the viability of the operation at serious risk.
Yeah, you start picking off muckety-mucks, they're gonna lock that place up tighter than Fort Knox.
Precisely.
Okay, so who did you have in mind?
There's one person there who is there. What's the word?
A wild card.
Yes, a wild card. A raider.
The raiders in Appalachia, they're not much of a threat. If the cutthroats were still in charge, maybe, but they got taken care of by the Scorched. But Meg? She's a pushover. Relatively speaking, of course.
I should have been clearer. This one is a former raider. Or, at the very least, not affiliated with the group living in that crushed space station.
Okay...
She's been pretending to be a simple bar owner for several years now, but we're not fooled. Her past, or present as a raider, whichever it may be, is not why she's dangerous, however.
Alright, I'll bite. How is one lone former raider who may or may not have gone straight dangerous?
She is very close with both of the women who are getting married. Intimately close.
How do you know that?
That does not matter. Just that we do. This raider has built up quite a reputation over the years. She is not one to be trifled with, given her relationship with the Vault Dweller and the Scribe. She has the potential to be a thorn in our side. She maintains a strong network of contacts and has a lot of favors she can call on.
And for this, she would.
Okay. Got a name?
Her name is Amanda Otis.
Once Upon a Wasteland, Season 3, Episode 7, Born by the Winds, was produced and directed by Brad Williams and written by D.K. Trueno. Starring Letitia Lemon as Elizabeth Kirby, Vitriol Plays as Odessa Valdez, and Lucy Middleton as Amanda Otis. Also starring Pandora Beatrix as Layla Romani and Maria Cheshire as Cindy Connors. Featuring Justine Leah Hintz as Elena Sorokin, Kyle Kerwent as Victor Scarlatti, and Lou Sutcliffe as Dmitry Orlov. Opening narration by Ashley Sacon, I'm Kirsty Harrison. Please join us for our next episode, Season 3, Episode 8, As the Wings of Starlings Bear Them On.
I'm Brad Williams, the creator of Once Upon a Wasteland. We'd like to thank you for joining us for the 7th episode of our 3rd season, and we hope that you'll continue to join us as we follow Beth and Odessa's journey toward happily ever after. A big thank you to our VIP patrons, the Mysterious Courier from the North, and Space Juggla. We'd also like to thank Don McCormick and Jeffrey Patch. Thank you all for your support. If you'd like to support the show, you can find details, including benefits like Discord access and merch, at patreon.com/onceuponawasteland. For more information on our show, visit our website, onceuponawasteland.com, where you'll find show information, scripts for each episode, artwork, and more. You can also find us on Twitter at onceupon76pod, Blue Sky at onceuponawasteland.com, and on Instagram and Threads at onceuponawasteland. If you like this episode, please leave a rating and review, which helps other listeners find us, and we hope you'll subscribe as well. Word of mouth is vitally important, so please, tell your friends. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can reach out to us directly on Twitter, via email at brad@onceuponawasteland.com, or on Discord at Reticent Duet. Thank you.